You know, there is this very specific, very frustrating moment when you're learning a new language. You've probably been there. It's
Okay.
about 3 weeks in. You bought the subscription, you downloaded the app, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You've memorized cat, library, and of course, beer.
You feel like a global citizen.
Totally. And then you turn on a movie in that language, or you try to listen to a conversation at a cafe.
And it's just a wall of sound.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you realize you understand absolutely nothing. It's just noise. You
Yeah.
hit that wall where, you know, studying vocabulary lists just doesn't translate to, well, actually living in the language.
That's the intermediate plateau. It's the killer of language dreams. And to get past it, you don't need more flashcards. You need what linguists call comprehensible input.
Right.
You need to be drowning in the language, hearing it, seeing it, reading it, in a way that's just a little bit above your current level.
Immersion. But here's the problem we're unpacking today. True immersion is incredibly expensive to build. So today we are running a bit of a thought experiment. We're taking Babbel, the heavyweight champion of language apps. I mean, we're talking 15 million subscriptions sold, courses in 14 languages.
A giant.
And we are conceptually plugging them into a new piece of infrastructure called Auto Content API.
This is such a fascinating case study because it's not just about learning Spanish or French. It's about a fundamental shift in how media gets made on the internet.
Okay.
On one side, you have Babbel. Their whole philosophy, the Babbel method, is very pragmatic. It's about getting you to speak fast. But even a giant like Babbel has a bottleneck.
A production bottleneck.
Exactly that. Think about the logistics. If you want a daily podcast, a daily video, fresh articles for 14 different languages,
Yeah.
you need an army.
Script writers, voice actors, sound engineers, video editors.
It's a massive human labor operation.
And that is where our second player enters, Auto Content API. I've been reading through their documentation, and this doesn't look like just another ChatGPT wrapper where you type a prompt and get a paragraph.
No, and that's a crucial distinction. The sources describe Auto Content API as an industrial engine. It's marketed as an alternative to something like Google's Notebook LM, but built for enterprise automation.
So not a toy, it's infrastructure.
It's infrastructure.
So the mission for this deep dive is to see if generative AI is finally ready to move from being a novelty to being the backbone of a media company.
Right.
We're going to explore how Babbel could theoretically use this API to drive their content production costs down by 99%, which sounds insane,
He does.
while increasing their output by what, a factor of 100?
It sounds like hyperbole, but when you look at the unit economics, it's actually just math.
Well, let's check the math then. Start with the core mechanism. When we say Auto Content API, are we just talking about a robot writing more blog posts? Because frankly, the internet is already full of those, and most of them are pretty bad.
No, and that is the most critical distinction to make right up front. The sources emphasize transformation, not just creation. Think about it this way. Babbel doesn't have a knowledge problem. They aren't lacking information. They have thousands of existing grammar lessons, culture guides, articles about
They
Oktoberfest.
have the raw data, it's just sitting there.
Right. But that data is trapped. It's trapped in text or static lessons. You can't read a grammar guide while you're driving to work.
Or watch a text file while you're scrolling TikTok,
Exactly.
so the API unlocks it.
Precisely. The Auto Content API is designed to ingest that existing asset, a URL, a PDF, a text file, and transform it into entirely different media formats. It's a multimodal pipeline.
Okay, so walk me through the workflow. Babbel takes their own verified article about, say, how to order coffee in Rome. They feed it into the machine. What comes out the other side?
Everything else. Simultaneously, the API could output a two-person podcast discussing the nuances of an espresso versus a cappuccino,
Okay.
a vertical video for TikTok summarizing the key phrases with an AI avatar, and a quiz to test your comprehension.
And just to be clear, this is happening without a human producer stepping in.
Correct. The sources draw a comparison to Google's Notebook LM here, which I know you've
Yeah,
used.
I've played with it. You upload a PDF, it gives you a summary or an audio overview. It's
Right.
cool. So how is this different structurally?
It's the architecture. Notebook LM is a consumer tool. It has a user interface, a website where you drag and drop a file. It's manual.
Great for one-offs.
Exactly. Auto Content API is headless.
Okay, let's define that term because it sounds a bit grim. Headless.
In tech, headless just means there's no front door. There is no website for a human to click on. It's designed for code. It's a server talking to a server.
Okay.
Babel's engineering team could programmatically send 100 articles a day to the API without a human ever looking at a screen.
Ooh.
That is the difference between a boutique shop and a factory.
Okay, so if we're building a factory, let's look at the product line. For language learning, audio is king. You have to train your ear. Babbel already produces Babbel podcasts. They're high-quality, human-made. Why would they risk automating that?
Two reasons. Scale and unit economics. The sources break down the cost of traditional podcast production, and it is startling.
Right.
To produce a high-quality manual episode, you're hiring a scriptwriter, the voice actors, the sound engineer, the editor.
Not to mention scheduling studio time, doing the retakes.
All of it. You are looking at anywhere from $100 on the very low end to $15,000 per episode for high production value.
Which is fine if you do a weekly show.
Yeah.
But if you want daily immersion for 14 languages.
The math breaks. It's prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Now look at the auto content API pricing in the source material. We are talking about 10 cents to 2 euros per episode.
Wait, hold on. For clarity, cents, not hundreds of dollars.
Cents, for the price of one manually produced episode, you could generate hundreds, maybe 1,000 AI episodes.
Wow.
But, and this is a big but, the real unlock for Babbel here isn't just the price tag. It's the format.
Yeah.
The API specializes in multi-speaker dynamics.
I saw that term in the notes. It creates banter, right?
It does, but think about why that matters for learning. You don't learn a language by listening to a monologue. You learn by hearing dialogue interactions, interruptions, questions, answers.
Mm.
The API can generate two AI agents having a natural conversation about a grammar rule. It mimics the immersion of being in a room with native speakers, which is the core of the Babbel method.
I have to play devil's advocate here. I really have to. We have all heard robotic text-to-speech. If I am trying to learn the subtle pronunciation of a French vowel, can I actually trust a robot?
Yeah.
If the quality isn't there, the low price doesn't matter. It's just cheap noise.
That is the quality objection. And honestly, 3 years ago, you would have been absolutely right. But the technology has shifted under our feet. The sources discuss advanced voice engineering. We're at a point where synthesis is often indistinguishable from human speech.
Okay.
But here is where it gets really strategic for a brand like Babbel. Voice cloning.
How does that work in this context?
The API allows for consistent voice branding. Imagine Babbel hires a human voice actor who wants to be their Spanish guide. Let's call her Maria.
Okay.
They record a few minutes of high-fidelity audio of Maria's voice. The API clones that voice model. Now, Maria can host thousands of episodes forever.
So the learner builds a relationship with the host, recognizing their voice, but the host is effectively software.
In a way, yes. And consider the localization angle. Mm-hmm. This is where the scale gets busying. The API supports over 50 languages.
Wow.
Babbel could take a podcast recorded in English about German grammar and instantly translate and resynthesize it so a French speaker can learn German or an Italian speaker can learn German using those same branded voices.
That is a massive efficiency hack. Usually you'd have to re-script and re-record the whole show for every single target market.
Exactly. It effectively multiplies their content library by 50 overnight. You create the asset once, the API distributes it across every language barrier. Let's pivot to video, because as much as audio helps, the internet is visual. The sources mentioned that by 2025, video is projected to be something like 82% of all internet traffic.
It's the dominant medium. And for a consumer app like Babbel, if you aren't on TikTok, Instagram Reels, or YouTube Shorts, you basically don't exist to a huge chunk of potential users.
Especially younger learners.
Absolutely.
But if audio is expensive to produce, video is a nightmare. You need lights, cameras, editing, color grading. I mean, the friction is huge.
That's the old model. The new model is what they call faceless content. The Auto Content API has a specific endpoint, a specific command called Video Create Shorts.
I love how technical that sounds. /video/create shorts. It sounds like a spell from a cyberpunk wizard. What does that command actually do?
It automates the entire studio. It takes a script, maybe a word of the day, and it automatically generates a 9.16 vertical video.
It selects an AI avatar, lip syncs the audio to the avatar's mouth, and burns in those trendy, bouncing subtitles that everyone uses.
A full production studio in a box. But again, is it just about saving money? Or is there a strategy play here?
It's about the cost of failure. A manual video costs anywhere from $50 to $300 to produce. And that's on the cheap end. The API does it for about 4 euros.
Roughly the price of a latte.
Precisely. And this allows for creative testing at scale.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Babbel might hesitate to make a weird experimental video, because if it flops, he just burned $300 in a day of work.
Right.
But at 4 euros, they could test 100 different concepts. Funny skits, serious grammar drills, travel tips, and just see what the algorithm picks up.
You can afford to throw spaghetti at the wall because the spaghetti is virtually free.
That's the strategy. Yeah. And there's another video application here that's really smart for SEO search engine optimization. The sources mention explainer videos.
These are the horizontal ones you see embedded on websites.
Yes. Data shows that having a video on a landing page increases dwell time, literally how long a user stays on the page. Google tracks this religiously.
And if people stay longer, Google ranks the page higher.
Right. Babbel has thousands of landing pages like Why Learn Norwegian or Spanish for Business.
And most of them are probably just walls of text right now.
Exactly. They could use the API to crawl their own site and generate a 60-second explainer video for every single page. It answers the user's question and boosts their SEO, all on autopilot.
Now, I want to bring this back to the learner, the person actually using Babbel. We've talked about marketing, podcasts, SEO, which all helps the company, but does this technically help me study? Does it make me better at Spanish?
This is where we get into the intelligence engine side of the API. It's not just about making media files, it's about creating structured data. The API has endpoints for deep research and quizzes.
How would that work in a practical study session?
Picture this. You just finished a Babbel lesson on ordering food in Italy. Great, you close the app. But what if the API instantly generated a personalized study guide summary for you, and then a custom quiz to test that specific retention?
That moves it from a generic course to a personalized tutor.
But go further. The deep research agent could scan the live web and generate a briefing document on Italian dining etiquette, tipping culture, meal times, things that might not be in the lesson.
So it adds context that isn't in the core curriculum.
Context is everything in language. And there's a feature called recurring research. Babbel could set up a task to scan the web for trending slang in Mexico City or Madrid every single week.
Oh, I see. Because textbooks are notoriously outdated. They teach you how to ask where the library is, not how to talk about the latest viral meme.
Exactly. The API could catch that trend and auto-generate a slang of the week update, a short video or audio clip sent to learners. It keeps the content feeling alive and culturally relevant.
It effectively turns the app from a static course into a live news feed for the language. That's actually a really compelling value proposition.
That is the goal. It keeps the learner engaged because the content is always fresh.
Okay, I'm sold on the what, but I'm still a little stuck on the how. You mentioned headless earlier. This sounds like a lot of moving parts. Is there some poor intern at Babbel whose job is to copy-paste URLs all day? Because that doesn't sound scalable.
No. And that's the beauty of the API-first philosophy. The goal is zero human intervention in the production chain. The sources talk about integration with automation tools like Make.com or Zapier.
We love a good no-code tool. Walk us through the workflow. How does it actually look?
So imagine a Babbel editor publishes a text article on their blog about Oktoberfest traditions. That's the trigger. That's the only human action.
Okay.
Make.com detects that a new URL has been published. It instantly pings the auto content API.
And the chain reaction starts.
Right. The API creates a podcast conversation about the article. Then it creates a TikTok video about the article. Then it generates a quiz. Then it sends those files to Spotify, YouTube, and social media automatically.
So the editor hits publish on a blog post, and 5 minutes later, a podcast and a video appear on Spotify and TikTok.
Without anyone lifting a finger. That is what they mean by infrastructure. It's a machine.
And I saw something about WordPress integration specifically.
Yes. Since about 43% of the web runs on WordPress, they have a dedicated plugin. It allows for what they call direct injection.
Okay.
So that podcast and video we just mentioned, the plugin can automatically embed them back into the original blog post.
So the blog post itself upgrades from a text article to a multimedia experience.
Instantly. And that drives that dwell time we talked about. Closes the loop.
You know, when you lay it out like this, it feels less like using a tool and more like building a media empire on autopilot. It changes the definition of what a content team actually does.
That's the scale we're talking about.
Yeah.
We are looking at Babbel moving from being a language app to a ubiquitous media network.
Right.
By adopting this kind of API, they solve the content bottleneck. They can produce assets at less than 1% of the historical cost.
And they ensure they are present in every earbud and on every screen.
Which is exactly where you need to be if you want someone to actually learn a language. You got to be unavoidable.
So what does this mean for us, the listeners, beyond just Babbel? What is the big takeaway here? Because this technology isn't staying inside language apps.
I think this represents the future of what people are calling the agentic web. We are moving away from a world where humans manually make content for other humans. We are entering a phase where humans design systems, or agents, that curate and create personalized knowledge at scale.
That's a heavy concept. We aren't the builders anymore. We're the architects.
Exactly. We design the factory. The factory builds the cars.
Yeah.
In this case, the cars are customized specifically for the driver.
It really makes you wonder if an educational company like Babbel can generate a personalized podcast for every single lesson you take, if the study material can react to the news and talk back to you, does the concept of a textbook become completely obsolete?
I think it might. Why would you read a static book when you can have a dynamic, living conversation with your study materials?
A living conversation with your homework. Now, that is a future I am ready for, or maybe terrified of. I haven't decided yet. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
See you next time.